Today's shiur is Masechet Shkolim, Daf Chof, and we're going to begin on Daf Yutes Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Chad ben Nash b'Tzipura, there was a Jew in Tzipurin, Ozel boy mizmin kupad mitafcha. He wanted to buy meat from the kosher butcher, v'lo yavle, but the butcher refused to sell him meat. Omele l'chad remi. So he asked a Roman, a non-Jew, to go buy the meat on his behalf. Vaisalei, and the Jewish butcher sold the meat to the non-Jew. Then the Jew goes back to the butcher who refused to sell him the meat. Amalei, v'lav nesivis akarchei, you see, I got the meat anyway. You couldn't avoid selling me the meat. Amalei, v'lav bosad nevele yavaslei, the meat, so the Jewish butcher told him, the meat that I sold to the non-Jew was non-kosher meat. So what you ended up eating was non-kosher meat. So the question is, did the person eat non-kosher meat? Did he not eat kosher meat? Does he have to kasher as a kalim? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, b'shem Rav Chanina, ma'isa bo lifnei Rebbe, this story came to Rebbe, from like kol menei, this butcher does not have the ability, mason mikulin tzipurin, to say that the meat sold in Tzipora is not kosher. So there's a few ways of understanding the Gemara. Some say he just not believed. He just said it to hurt the Jewish customer, but it was just not true. Why? So Mefarshim explained, in those days, whenever there was non-kosher meat available, they used to make an announcement that there is non-kosher meat in the market. Since on that day there was no such announcement made, it's a proof that he was just lying to tease him. Another pshat is that since we have a rule that a kosher butcher sells kosher meat, all of a sudden that the kosher butcher says that he sold non-kosher meat, we don't assume that that's true. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachas L'Taman, Rav came to Bavos, Chamson, he saw Mekilin, that people were being lenient in Hilchas Kashrus, and therefore he acted stringently. What is the Gemara going to teach us now? The Gemara is going to teach us now the halacha of basar shenasalam min ha'ayin, meat that's not under the watch of a Jew, it's just left open. Rav held you're not allowed to eat. The Gemara gives us a number of stories. Says the Gemara, Chad banash, there was a person, Ozel boy meshivda, Askufa begoy nahara. He wanted to wash his meat at the river, the inchesa, and the meat fell into the river. V'ozalei chazar. So he wanted to take, he went into the river to pick up that meat. Bar misivna. And he wanted to eat that meat. He went into the river, picked up the meat, and he wanted to eat it. Omalei Rav, asalach. So Rav told him that this meat is asar. Why? Because I say, the na'ama, we say, hahi short of nara, this piece of meat, the kosher piece of meat, was washed away by the river, v'aisachuri devela tachdoi, and the piece of meat that you picked up is another piece of meat which is not kosher. Why? Because since this meat wasn't constantly under the supervision of a Jew, it's bashish and a salam and a ayin and it's asr. Another story. Chad, there was a person walking in the market, toying kupit, carrying meat. Also daisa, a bird came, took the meat away and threw it down. Chazer, so the Jew went, and wanted to pick up that piece of meat. Amalei Rav, so Rav told him, this other meat that you picked up is asr. The no'ama, again because we say, that the bird who picked up the kosher piece of meat was also carrying a non-kosher piece of meat, and we have to be concerned that the piece of meat that it wrapped wasn't the kosher piece of meat, rather was the non-kosher meat. And that is the piece of meat that you picked up, which is not kosher. Says the Gemara, another story. Ginoi, shot of Zikin. There was a river called Ginoi that flooded Zikin. They used to have barrels. Some say it was barrels of wine. Others say it was barrels of wine skins, which need to be kosher. Otherwise, it's tam yenim. And the river came and flooded them. And now they found those barrels. And the question was, may they use it or not? Because again, just like there's halacha on meat, a basrish and salman ayin, the same halacha applies to any food that could be kosher or non-kosher. Also of the Kamei Rav Yitzchak, Rav Elazar, so the story came to Rav Yitzchak, Rav Elazar, V'amen, Yachman Shafi Ketroin, look at the knots with which these wine or the barrels were tied. If you could recognize that these are the knots that you made, so now you have a simen that that's the kosher product, that that's your product, and you can use it. So the way Chassam Sofer explains this Gemara, this is the first time we find in Shas the concept of a kashra symbol. But it wasn't an OU symbol, it was the knots. And in fact, he has a discussion, the Chassam Sofer, with Ramat Chabinet. Ramat Chabinet says that a kashra symbol is only a symbol that can't be forged. Rav Chassam Sofer says it doesn't make a difference. If you could recognize that it's your symbol, the fact that it could be forged doesn't make a difference. What's the proof? The proof here is, why was the simon, what was the symbol? Knots. Anybody could duplicate a knot, yet the Gemara says that it was enough of a simon. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, that if you put a simon, an OU symbol, on a food product, that is a simon kashrus. But the Michas Yitzchak and the Tshuvas, everybody basically agrees with the Chassam Sofer, but the Michas Yitzchak and the Tshuvas says, that is only relevant if someone would use a symbol illegally, would be open to legal proceedings. So there we say that if he used a symbol, he's not going to use a symbol that he doesn't own because he could get into trouble. But if you could use a simon, I can make a symbol, and you could easily duplicate it, and there's no repercussions for doing it, then it's not considered a halachically valid symbol. Says the Gemara, Niknuke ishtake beknisht debuli, a barrel of wine was found in the shul of Buli. Also of the Kamei Rabbi Yirmiyah, the story came to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Oma, Yesk Mutsukraya Viditan. The people who make the barrels should see if the color, the dye that they painted the barrel, it's the same color, and therefore it would be a good simon. Another story. Giditzli, a roasted goat, Ishtakich Ba'astriti the Gufsa, was found in the city that's called Gufsa. Vitirua, and they said that the people that picked it up are allowed to eat it mishum shneitavar for two reasons. Mishum etziya or mishum roi mehalka derochim. And the Gemara will explain. Mishum etziya, the reason I'm allowed to pick it up and eat it, it's not mine. Because the halacha is, the tani, we learned in the braisa, hamatzel miyad ari, if you save something that was in the hands of a lion, miyad agayis, that was in the hands of army or bandits, Meshunas Hayom, Meshunas Hanor, from a flood, Misrachi Gedolah, from a public place, Hare Elu Shaloi. Why? Because we say, Neshabalim Misyashimhem, the people who owned it gave up. They know if they had their item in a place where there was a flood, or that they lost something in a public thoroughfare, they lost it. There's interesting Shail and Rishonim. Let's say the person who lost it in this public area says, I was not Miyash, I didn't give up hope. What's the halacha then? So Rishonim say it depends where. If it was in a public street, and the person tells us, I didn't give up, I was a miyash, so then it's still his. But let's say it fell into the river, or it fell into a lion's mouth, where even if the person says, I wasn't miyash, it's meaningless, because something that falls into the river is basically lost, or something that falls into a lion's mouth is basically lost. Even if the person says, I was a miyash, it's still not his anymore. So that was on the issue, am I allowed to pick it up? It's not mine. But now we have the kashrus issue. It was brushes and salmon ayin, or wine and salmon ayin, says the Gemara. Mishum roi mehalkit rochim. Since most people that walked in that street were Jews, mishum shchitas nachri. You don't have to worry that it was a non-kosher meat, because most people who walked in that street were Jews. And actually, says the Gemara, v'shtakim in the base rabbi, at the end it turned out that that was meat that was from Rebbe's home, it was kosher meat. Similar story. Eagle the governor ishta bepindika de Levi. There was a piece of cheese that was found in Levi's inn. And again, cheese is an item that has to be kosher because there's aloch of givinas akum. Cheese has to be made by a Jew. They let the people who found it eat it for two reasons. Again, the Gemara says, you had a guy, so if you find something that was in the hands of the army, you had a reed by a lion, Mishunas Hayom, Mishunas Hanav, from a flood, Mesrach Gedolah, Meplach Gedolah, in public thoroughfare, Harel Shaloi, you're allowed to pick it up, Meshabal Meshash Mehen. We don't have to think that the owners wanted, they were Meyash, so you could pick it up. And what about the Kashrus issue? Meshurim Rov, Mehalkid Rochim, most of the people that walked in that place were Jewish, and therefore we don't have to be concerned, Mishum Gavinus Nakri, that it's not kosher cheese. And actually, Vishtakim in the Bay, Rebbe Elazar Yossi, that it turned out to be Rebbe Elazar Yossi. So as we finish the sugya of Bosh and Salman Ayin, this is an important halacha. Meat that you leave in the hands of a non-Jew has to have a simen. I just mentioned one shaila I saw. What happens if Chas V'Shalom in someone's house, there was a robbery, and somebody had meat without simanim in the house? So besides the terrible loss that he has from the robbery, could he eat the meat? Or was Bosh and Salman Ayin, because he knows we're exposed to non-Jews? So the Paiskim say that you're allowed to eat the meat. Why is it not Bosh and Salman Ayin? And the reason they say is very relevant in understanding the halachas of Bosh and Salman Ayin. They say, if the robber wanted that meat, what would he have done? He would have taken it and not replaced it with kosher meat. He doesn't care. So we see from here the Paiskim say that wherever it doesn't make sense that the kosher meat was taken and was replaced by non-kosher meat, then there's no problem b'shus and Salman Ayin. Says the Gemara, we spoke about something that's found in a public place that you're allowed to take it because the Baal Mamayash. Omer HaMani Kom Rav Yosef. HaMani said in front of Rav Yosef, V'nachamya, we saw Rabbanan Machrizim, that they do make an announcement even of things that were found in a public place. Omalei, so he told him, at in Havis Mishkachas, Leina Sapta, is it true that if you would find something in such an area, you wouldn't pick it up? Rabbi Yonah Avuch, Lamekein, Rabbi Yonah, your father didn't say that way. Alama, Rabbi Yonah, your father used to say, Halavai Kad Nashkach, Halavai, we should find something in a public place. Nashkach Mepius Lagav, it should be found inside the shul, which is a public area, and if we find something, I could keep it. So you see that if you find something in a public place, you could keep it, you don't have to make an announcement. Says the Gemara, Afil Kain, even though they said this in the name of Rav Yonah's father, Ishkech V'lei Nosef. So Machlok is how to understand this line. Some say that even though Rav Yonah used to say that if I find something in a public place, I'm allowed to keep it, when he actually found something in a public place, he made an announcement. He didn't just keep it. Or some say Rav Yonah maybe kept it, but his son was Machmer, that even if he found something in a public place, he didn't want to just keep it. He made an announcement. Maybe the rightful owners will pick it up. Says the Mishnah, we continue learning the halachas of finding something and not knowing who or what it belongs to. Says the Mishnah, Behemish Nimtzus Mishlayim Migdal Eidah. If an animal was found anywhere between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eidah, Ukmidasa in the same distance, L'chol Ruach in any direction. Zacharim, if they're males, Oilus. I assume that since all the animals in the vicinity of Yerushalayim were Kabonis, because as we learned in the previous year, there's such an abundance of Maisa Sheni money in Yerushalayim, so they used that money for buying animals, for Kabonis, so any males are Oila, the Kavis are Zivchei Shlomim. And the Mepharshim make an interesting observation. Here we have two halachic concepts, so to speak, contradicting. On one hand, we have the concept of Korayv, that anything that's close to Yerushalayim, we assume is a carbon. On the other hand, we have a concept of roiv. Most animals in the world are not kabonis. Yet, what does our Mishnah tell us? That we should follow karoiv, not roiv. Why? Usually roiv is a very strong concept in halacha. So Mepharshim explained that with a karoiv, where there's one concept which is so obvious that that's the concept I should follow, in play, I follow that concept. Here, since it's so obvious, being so close to Yerushalayim, that it must be animals that are carbonous from Yerushalayim, I treat it like a carbon. Rabbi Yehuda adds one point. Haroi l'psachim, psachim, any animal that can be used for Karban Pesach, that means a male within the first year, karv l'regel l'amidyoyim, if it's within 30 days of Pesach, I consider it a Karban Pesach. And the Mepharshim say a few points on this. Why am I allowed to take it for Karban Pesach? Maybe the owner will show up. So they say two answers. Number one, the Gemara Masech Bava Metzia says that if I find something of someone else's, I have to announce it, I have to return it. There's a mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. But let's say while I'm holding on to it, I'm going to have expense. that the owner is going to have to reimburse me. Sometimes it's better just to use it for myself or sell it and then give him back his money. Here, if I'm going to hold on to the animal until the rightful owner shows up, I'm going to have to feed the animal, take care of it. And now the owner is going to have to reimburse me for that. He prefers that I should take the animal for my Korban Pesach, and he'll take a different animal. Especially, they say, since if the owner doesn't show up until after Pesach, then as we learned many times, the animal will be a Korban Shlomim, and the owner doesn't want it to be a Korban Shlomim, he'd rather be a Korban Pesach. Because a Korban Pesach, the owner gets much more meat out of the animal versus a Korban Shlomim, where big portions of the meat go to the Kohanim. But the Makna asks a question. We learned the Gemara Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim says that if an animal was designated as a Korban Pesach, and then it was left with none of the original owners, the animal gets disqualified. So what happened here? I found this animal. I'm going to use it now for Korban Pesach. I wasn't one of the original owners. So if I wasn't an original owner, and all of the original owners aren't going to be involved with this Korban Pesach, it becomes disqualified. So how could I use it? So the Makna answers, there are two concepts in Halacha. There's a concept of Mafrish, and there's a concept of Magdish. Mafrish means to set aside. Magdish means to be Magdishit. He says, when is there a Halacha that a Korban Pesach that is owned by one person or a group of people, if none of the original owners remain, it becomes disqualified? That's when he was Magdish the Korban. We're not concerned that the person was Magdishit, because people were Magdish the Korban, we learned from Masechta Pesachim, the last moment. The only thing that happened here was Hafrasha. If there was only a setting aside, that doesn't mean that it was considered owned by a person or by a group, that if nobody's left from that group, it will become no longer usable for Korban Pesach. Says the Mishnah further. We know that when somebody brings a Korban, he has to bring the Sochim. Says the Mishnah, B'Rishon HaYom Mashkin Es Mitzah, Atchim Evi Nuschah, that if I found the animal, we go back to the first din, if I find the animal, I have to bring it for Korban, I have to provide from the Nusachim from my own home. So what did the people who found it do? People who found animals would leave them because they didn't want to have to spend for the Nusachim. Hiskinos, they made a rule, the communal fund paid for the Nusachim. And the Brisker Rav explains the Mishnah very beautifully. He says, Nusachim is not that if somebody promised to give a Korban, he also promises to give Nusachim. So therefore, if somebody else promised the Korban, what do I have to give Nusachim? Nusachim come together with the animal. And if we're learning that the halach is that I have to bring the animal, then automatically I have to bring the Nusachim with it, and that's why people didn't want to do it. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, since we're learning about Takanas Bezdin, we're going to learn about some more. Om Rav Shimon, Zayin Devar Miskinu Bezdin. Bezdin made certain rules, v'zeh Echmehem. This was one of them. Now the Mishnah says another rule. Noach Risha Sholach Ailosim Medina Sayyam. We learned early in the Masechta, a guy could donate a carbon oil. So he donated the carbon oil, v'sholachim ha'at Nesachim. And he sent along money, the Mirik says, because the Nesachim a guy sends can't be used. We have to be concerned that not the Tamei. So if he sent along money, Kreivim Shalai, we use his funds for the Nesachim. However, Mlaf, if he didn't send along money, Kreivim Shal Tzibur, the Tzibur pays for it. So there's a Machlaikis in the Mefarshim, when is this din applicable? Is it no matter when a guy sends, that if a guy sent a carbon, he didn't say, send him the Nesachim, the Tzibur pays for it? Or is it only if he sent him a Medina Sayyam? He sent it from overseas. But if the guy is in close proximity, we go to him and say, you have to pay for the Nesachim. The halach is Gershin is Gai Kikotin Shinoel Adami. Halach looks at a Ger as if he has no, as if he's a newborn child. So if somebody became a convert and he never had children after he became a Ger, so when he dies, his estate becomes ownerless, Tefka. And anybody could grab it. Says the Mishnah, Ken Ger Shemes, a Ger died, V'niach Zvachim, and he left over Karbonis, animals designated as Karbonis. Im Yeshlin Nesachim, if he left over Nesachim, or the Mefarshim say, even if he didn't leave over Nesachim, there are funds left over from which we could take the Nesachim. Krev Mishloi, we use those funds for the Nesachim. Mimlav, however, if there is no funds available, Krev Mishat Tzibur, then the Tzibur pays for the Nesachim. So the Michas Baruch makes an interesting observation. The Gemara many times in Shas has a Shaila, who are the Kahanim Shluchim of? Who are the Kahanim acting on behalf? Shluchu de Rachmana, acting on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Shluchu de Don, acting on behalf of the person bringing the carbon. If asked the Michas Baruch. The Kahanim are acting on behalf of the owner. Here the owner is dead. So how could they be his shliach? So shouldn't we have a raya from our Mishnah, the Kahanim, shluchei de Rachmana? He says there's no raya. Because even if we say Kahanim shluchei de Don, doesn't mean that they can't bring a carbon, even if the person is no longer alive. Nova halacha. But tonight does not call Gan Shemes. The halacha is the Kohen Gadol every day. We spoke about it, we'll speak about it more. Every day I had to bring a carbon mincha from Maseiras Eifa, half brought in the morning, half brought in the afternoon. Let's say the Kohen Gadol dies, Shtei Minchas Ukrei Mishal Tzibur. Until they appoint a new Kohen Gadol, the communal fund pays for the new, for that carbon mincha. Yudaima Mishal Yarshim, the Yarshim pay for it, Vishleim Ha'is Ukreva. And it was brought Shleima, we'll speak about that more in the tomorrow's shiur. Now, there's two interesting machlokes. One machlokes says, when is the halacha, according to Yehuda, that the Yarshim pay? Is it only if their father, the Kohen Gadol, left over funds? They don't have to take out money from their own pocket. They're using estate money. Or even if their father didn't leave over any money, they have to use their own money. That's one question. And then there's a machlokes chazanish mechazchinach, who do Yarshim mean? The chazanish says the Yarshim means only a son who could potentially be a Kohen Gadol. He has to pay for it. But let's say the Kohen Gadol didn't leave any sons, he only left daughters, or he left a son who's a chalol, they would not have to take over. The Michas Chinuch says, since the Mishnah uses the word Yashim, it makes no difference if it's a son or a daughter or it's a chalol, they have to pay until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. Not halacha. Ala melech val eitzim sheikonim nesmehem. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash there was salt and wood. So the Mishnah is teaching us that the Kohanim could use it for their own food. That means when they eat kabanis, they could use salt and wood that's in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Mefarshim point out, the halacha is, we said this halacha many times, that a carbon has to be eaten l'mashcha. K'derech shemalachim oichlim. They have to be satiated when they eat it. So let's say the Kohen doesn't have a lot of kabanis, so he's going to eat chulim first, just to be able to eat the carbon when he's full. Is the halacha that he's allowed to eat those chulim with salt or cook it with the water to base the mikdash? That is already asr. For the para, aduma, shlo yimayal ba'afra. There is no me'ilo on the ashes of carbon on the para aduma. And the next halacha, valkina psulois, let's say one of the pair of birds, or the money put away for a pair of birds, shape psulois, that becomes disqualified, boris mishal tzibur. The tzibur has to make it up. Could the person who put that money in is relying on it? And if that carbon won't be brought, then the person can't eat kachim, but they think that they will be allowed to. Rabbi Yosef Amaspik is a kinim. The person who supplied Hegdish with the kinim, whom is Sapik Sapsilus, he's the one that has supplied this. There's an interesting rush. The rush says, when is this halacha? If there's a person that has a contract for the whole year, that he has to give the kinim all year. So the Mishnah teaches us that if there's a question, he has to take out of his own funds to make it up. Because he has place for profit from a whole year's sales. But let's say a person is just giving the kinim for one day. And now you're going to tell him that there was some sort of a problem that day, and he has to cover the loss. Then we don't say to him, because from one day's supply, he doesn't make enough profit to have to cover the loss of Hegdish. Now, there's a question. We found the animal. We don't know what it is. So the Mishnah says, if it's an oila, if it's a zakhu, we should bring it as an oila. If it's in the cave, we should bring it as a shlomen. But the question is, you're allowed to bring a shlomen from a zakhar also. So maybe it's a shlomen. So how can I just go bring the zakhar as a oila? Says the Gemara, in anticipation of this question, Rav Oishi, Rabbi Amala, the lover of the Meim Shanu. What you do is you take money, two piles of money, and you say, if this animal is a carbon oila, then it should be, the kedusha should be transferred on the money, and the other pile of money I'll bring a carbon shlomim. If on the other hand, if it's a carbon shlomim, the kedusha should be transferred onto that pile of money, and the other money I'll bring a carbon oila with. It's interesting, the Mefarshim make an observation. In our Mishnah, we said people didn't want to spend money, so that's why the Beis HaMikdash supplied the Nesachim. But here, a person's going to have to give from his own pocket an extra carbon. That the Gemara isn't concerned with. Why? So Mefarshim say, Nesachim, there were plenty Nesachim available in the Beis HaMikdash. So Beis HaMikdash says, you know, we'll give it. But here, animals, there weren't. So that's why the person has to pay for himself. But now, there's a problem with this approach. Because the halach is you're not allowed to be poydi, you're not allowed to redeem an animal that's kadosh when it's not a balmum. So how am I transferring the kedusha? Do we tell a person that you're allowed to transfer the kedusha from an animal that's whole? Ella, Hilch ben Acha Roiv. We follow the majority. Im Roiv Zacharim, if most of the animal are found are Zacharim Oilas, we assume that they're all carbon oila. Im Roiv the Kavos, but if most of the animal on the Kavos, the Loch is Zivchei Shlomim, then we treat them as Shlomim. Vein as Shlomim, ask the Gemara, what have you accomplished? Vein as Shlom Barman as Zacharim min the Kavos. If you find even a group of Zacharim, they still may be a carbon Shlomim, because the Loch is you're allowed to bring a Shlomim from a male. Therefore, the Gemara says a different thing. Keitzer Aisa, what should he do? Matzin lechulim. You wait till the animal becomes a bamum, for chayzer Aisa Aisa and oilus, and then you transfer it to be a carbon oiler. That's one approach. But this approach isn't perfect, because again, we have the problem. You're transferring it to be an oiler, where actually the animal might have been a shlomim. So therefore, Rav Zeira gives a different answer. Om Rav Zeira, k'moy damot tamon. Like we learned many times, tonight beznuah amoisris, that if you have leftover money that you designated for carbon chattis, or leftover money you designated for carbon shlomim, shikrovu oilis, that they should be brought as a carbon oila, kain at of amar of hachi. The same thing here. Tonight bezdin made a stipulation, aloidis, if you find animal that are lost, even though that they may be carbon shlomim, shikrovu oilis, that they brought as carbon oilis. Omlei, Rav Yossi, Rav Yaakov Achav, Omer Einzu Mezit, how could you take an animal which is a carbon shlomim and turn it into a carbon oiler? It's not the same, explained the Mefarshim, as extra money from a carbon chattis. Because if I have money that's carbon chattis, that money never really became a carbon. So if I have leftover money, I can make it into oiler. But here, this animal was a carbon shlomim. How could I all of a sudden turn it into a carbon oiler? Says the Gemara, I'm like Kimichu tonight, Bezdin. If that's the stipulation made, by Bezdin ain't a mezid, it's not considered anything wrong, and you're allowed to do it. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Ada Anataman, as while I was still in Bava, we had this Gemara a number of times. Shamas Kar Yehuda Shalosh Shmuel. I heard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel, Hifra Shikla Mace. If somebody designated a shekel and then he died, what's the locha? I'm like Yiplu Nadovit. Should not be put into the fund of the Shkolim. Why? Because as we've learned so many times, that fund was used to buy carbon chattis. And the halacha is that a carbon chattis shemesu b'aleh, if the owner's died, you can't bring as a carbon chattis. So we know here that the person died, you can't take it for shkolim because it's going to be used for carbon chattis. Another halacha. A serious eifa shekain gadol. If the kain gadol had left over money from the serious from what he designated the serious eifa, what should he do? Rabbi Yoich Amar Yilichem Yilam HaMelech, it should be taken to the Yam HaMelech, Abelazam Yiplun Nandofim. And again, we said many times, the Brisker Rav, why shouldn't we just use it for the next day? So the Brisker Rav said, because every day there's a chiv to bring the Sirus Eifa for money which is chulin. But this money is not chulin, this money is already kaidish. Now, the halach is that the Kohen Gadol has to bring Karim Minch every day, Machtsisa Bebaika, Machtsisa Be'enabayim, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So now we have machloik, is exactly what was the procedure. Rabbi Yochanan machloikah soy, first you divide it, half and half, vachka makacha, then you take the half that you need for the morning and bring it, another half you'll use in the afternoon. Rabbi Shlomo Balakish disagrees. He says, makacha, we take the whole asiris eifa of flour and we make it holy, vachka choytzai soy, and then we divide it. Says the Gemara, Masnisa, there's a Mishnah Masechta Menachos, pligo Rabbi Yochanan, which seems to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. Because the Mishnah speaks about the following case. It speaks about a case where the Kohen Gadol was there in the morning, prepared an Asiris Ha'efa, and then he died. And then, in the afternoon, like we learned in the Mishnah, either his Yashim or the Tzibra bring another carbon mincha, Asiris Ha'efa. So the Mishnah says, Makrav Achtza, from the Asiris Ha'efa which is brought in the afternoon, half of it is actually brought, or Machtza of it, and the other half is thrown out. Why should it be thrown out? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, we divide it, and the half we put into a keli and becomes kadosh, but the other half never becomes kadosh, so why should I lose? Why should I have to destroy it? Answers the Gemara, beautiful. Pasloi, who's this question on Rabbi Yochanan? What does Rabbi Yochanan say we learned a moment ago about Maisra Siris Eifa? He holds that Maisra Siris Eifa always goes liyam HaMelech. This is no different than a Maisra Siris Eifa, which goes to Yam HaMelech. Pasloi, we're explaining it. Shekein, I feel a Mars. Even if he had Moisa, Sirus Eifa, Yoelich Liyam HaMelech, this is no different. Says the Gemara, Masnisa, Pliger Rish Lakish. We have a Mishnah that seems to disagree with Rish Lakish. because the Mishnah there says, Nimtzu shnei chatzoin krevim, half of what the Kohen Gadol provided. Again, we're dealing with a situation where the Kohen Gadol brought his Aseiras Eif in the morning, and then he passed away. So the half that he brought in the morning is brought, half of what's brought in the afternoon is brought, and the other half of the morning and the afternoon is let go, is destroyed. Nimtzu shnei chatzoin krevim, v'shnei chatzoin avudim, they let go. V'tani Allah. And the Bryson explaining that Mishnah says, Mechza Rishon, Mechza Sheni, the first half that wasn't used from the morning, the second half that wasn't used from the morning, and the second half that wasn't used in the afternoon, two bits rosin, we have to let it decompose, and then the Yetz Lebeis Asreifa. Now the question is, according to Resh Lakish, it was first put into the Klisharis. Since it was put into Klisharis, it gets a Kedusha Saguf. If it gets a Kedusha Saguf, the halach is that anything that has a Kedusha Saguf doesn't require Ibit Surah to be let go. You just could burn it. So why over here does it require Ibit Surah? Answers the Gemara. Pasala. Rish Lakish is going to explain Rabbi Shmuel the Sar Mekadesh. Only Rabbi Shmuel holds, that's the way Mepharshim learned, only Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Keli gives it a Kedusha Saguf. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, will hold that it doesn't get a Kedusha Saguf. Since it doesn't get a Kedusha Saguf, when you have to dispose of it, you have to have Ibit Surah. Says the Gemara, Kshikayim Miskaf Tchila L'Avoida, the first time a Kohen doesn't come to do the Avoida in Beis HaMikdash, maybe a serious Eifah Shaloi, he has to bring in a serious Eifah. This has nothing to do with the serious Eifah that Kohen Gadol has to bring every day. This is a separate din. That the first time a Kohen does Avoida, he has to bring in a serious Eifah, V'Oiv de B'yodai. And he's the one that actually sacrifices the carbon. Says the Gemara, Echa Kohen Gadol, Echa Kohen Hajit, whether it's a Kohen Gadol who has to bring a serious Eifah every day, or Kohen Hajit who has to bring a serious Eifah on the first day of his Avoida, She'avdu ad shloi hevi'a serious Eifah shlem, that they did Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash without first having brought a serious Eifah, the halacha is Avedosan Kshera. Says the Gemara, Rabbana Bai Meimah, Bai B'yayim Sh'nischar T'chil L'Avoida, what is the halacha if the first time a Kohen is doing an Avoida is also Bai B'yayim Nisman Ali's Kohen Gadol? He also is the day that he became a Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Mevi Shtayim. He has to bring two Aseiras Eifahs. Achas L'chinuchai. One is because the first time you do an Avoida, you have to bring a Aseiras Eifah, as we learned a moment ago. V'achas L'chayv Sayayim. And one is because the Kohen Gadol has to bring a Aseiras Eifah every day. So he's going to have to bring two Aseiras Eifahs that day. Now the Asameach makes an observation. He says, the Bavli says, that actually he's going to have to bring three. Why does he have to bring three? One, because he never did Avoida as a Kohen Hedjit. And we just said a Kohen Hedjit doing Avoida, the first day has to bring in a Seir Seifa. One is because he became a Kohen Gadol today, so he has to bring a second one. And third is because a Kohen Gadol has to bring a Seir Seifa every day. The Yerushalmi says, Dar Sumeach says, he has to only bring two. So explains Dar Sumeach, what is the Machloikus of the Bavli in the Yerushalmi? He says a beautiful explanation. He says, what does it mean to be a Kohen Gadol? Does it mean a Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Hedjit plus? Or does a Kohen Gadol mean something else? If you say that a Kohen Gadol is really a Kohen Hedjit plus, so that's why he has to bring three. He's a Kohen Hedjit, and then he's also plus, so he has to bring for Kohen Gadol. But if you're going to say that a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjit are totally two separate-ish people, two separate, let's say, concepts, so he's not a Kohen Hedjit, he's only Kohen Gadol, so he only has to bring one as Kohen Gadol and one as, this is his first day. So the Pasuk says, in describing this carbon, Mincha Asir Seifa, Tefinu. Tefinu means some sort of frying and baking. Says the Gemara, B'shas Tefinu Tefinu, it has to be baked when you bring it, Vein B'shas Tefinu. You can't break it at night before the carbon tamid is brought. Ask the Gemara Vataninan, Hamido Isa Chavitim Lasas Chavitim, that the people who prepared the Chavitim already started making it even before the Karban Tamid was brought, which is ready by night. Amr, Chibar Acha, Lasas Chamin L'Ravucha. What they did was that they prepared the hot water that they need to prepare the Chavitim, but they didn't actually start baking the flour. Now, in this Tufini, there's a Shaila, how actually is it done? Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, Metagna, first it's fried, and then it's baked. Rav Acha b'shem Rav Chanina, Orfei soy, first it's baked, v'achakach tefina. V'achakach metagn, then it's baked. Tefina, why? Because he explains, ta'ofna no. When you bake it, it should be nice. It should be, what he called, he explains that it should be partially cooked. That means it should be fried first. And Rabbi Amit tefina no. When we bake it, we want it to be nice. Now, if you fry it first, it could get black from the frying. That's why he holds you should bake it and then fry it. Rav Dois has a different approach. Tefna ribbon. Tefna means that you should bake it, fry it, and then bake it again. Asin ilan plukta, kanin plukta. So he says the machlokes that we just learned really is based on other machlokes. We already explained it. Mandam tefna no. According to Mandam, that says that when you bake it, it should be nice. He holds commandam oifavakach metagna, bake it and then fry it. Because if you fry it first, it'll get black from the frying. Or mandam tafenana, that when you bake it, it should be partially cooked. He'll hold commandam omer metagna vakach oifa, first fry it and then bake it. Says the Gemara, loy seif dov shemes. Not only if the kohen gadol dies, is the halacha that, as we learned in the Mishnah, somebody else has to pick up to bring the Minchas Chavitin, whether it's the Tzibur or the Yarish. Elafilo Nitma, v'filu Nitcha Mimum, if he became Tamei, or he had a temporary blemish, the same halacha would apply. Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bapazi, the bad delay, his son has to take over, v'filu Nitcha Mimum, even if only he got temporarily disqualified. The halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that the son takes over, kicks in. Says the Gemara, Menayin shel kohen gadol shemes. We now explain the machlokes that we learned in the Mishnah. How do we know if a kohen gadol dies? V'lo mino acha tachtov. And nobody else was appointed in this place. Shetayi min chosu krevi mishel yarshim. That his yarshim have to pick it up. Tamalomim v'bonov yasu oysoy. Yochel yavien alach tzoyim. I would say, just like we learned that the father, the kohen gadol, when he brings this korban mincha, he brings half in the morning, half in the afternoon. The same that applies that when the yarshim bring it, they bring it the same way. Tamaloma oisai, kula amarti, that the whole thing has to be brought in one time, not divided. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, ena ba'alam shon tzibur. If for some reason the kohen gadol can't bring it, he died, and a new kohen gadol wasn't appointed, then the communal fund pays for it. Shenamar chayk olam, misha bris krusaloi. What do you call it? Somebody that will be here forever. Who's forever? The tzibur is forever. Kol takter, kol aktara. The entire minchas chavitim, if it's not brought from the kohen gadol, is burnt at one time. Not like when the kohen gadol brings it, that half is brought in the morning and half in the afternoon.